God bless you this morning. All you veterans, man, that was so awesome. Thank you, really, for what you've done. We wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for you. I believe that. I give you my word that I'll teach my sons that. And we do appreciate you this morning. Amen, church. Give them another hand. Well, this morning, Dad is in Alabama, and he texted me and Ben last night. We were in a group message, and he said, this is Hickville down here. The guy that he's with, if you've ever heard somebody from Alabama talk, he does talk like a hick, a true hick. How you doing, Pastor Marty, when he calls? It's just funny. But you know something? Relationships matter. And when he told me that he was going down to dedicate a baby for a pastor who really doesn't have a lot of people. It can be a lonely place being a pastor. I've watched my dad through the years, and you know, I just thought it was so awesome that he'd go down and dedicate their baby and give the word down there. So keep him in your prayers. Would you do that, church? Amen. This morning, I'm gonna speak to you out of the book of Exodus. It's customary for us to bring the reading of the word and then give a subject title, so I'll do that this morning. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. Thank you, Ben, for correcting me last service. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. And I made a mental note, and I'll read the rest of it, but I made a mental note. You know, sometimes we take care of things that we really don't want to take care of. Sometimes we're in places in our lives that we really don't want to be. He's in the backside of a desert right here, if you don't know the story. He's in the backside of a desert right here, and he's tending to sheep. And you know, you see sheep in movies and on TV, and they're these beautiful white animals. But I know there's some farmers in the room that know what they really look like and what they really smell like. So Moses is in the backside of the desert. And I want to just say this to someone in this place. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. You might not be where you want to be. You might not be doing what you want to do, but don't despise the days of small beginnings. Would you say amen, church? Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush was burning. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am that I am, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on to God. The subject that I'd like to communicate to you this morning, nothing that is happening is for nothing. Nothing that is happening to you that has happened to you is for nothing. You might have gone down a road and you say, Ryan, how could that be God? It might not have been God that took you down that road, but when you got down that road, you fell into the will of God. He'll take something that you ruin. He'll take something that I ruin. He'll take something that your family ruined. He'll take something that your boss ruined. And he'll turn something beautiful into it. Do I have a witness in this place anyway? Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Father, we commit this time to you. We call it yours. God, take me from it. And Father, make it supernatural in this place. Every word that I speak, may it bring glory to you. This flesh, these lips, these eyes, God, Father, see through them. Hear through them that your word might come forth with power from above. Again, we commit this time to you. Would you say amen this morning? Amen. And would you give my great friend Rufus a hand this morning? Can you see that we're related? Can you see? He's the man. So I'm going to jump right into this thing here. Are you with me this morning? So Moses, I read a point of scripture. Moses comes into an experience, and I want to give you some of Moses' background because I've been in church my entire life, and I read this scripture, and there was a newness, there was a freshness about it because sometimes we read certain sections of scripture, and we don't see the background of it. So the background is this. Moses, as a baby, was sent down a river in what the scripture describes as an ark. It was a basket. It was built as a basket. It was sent down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter was downriver from that basket. And Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the river. Read the scripture somewhere about Exodus 2 is where Moses was born. And he heads down this river, and Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in this river, and this basket comes along. Crazy, right? This basket comes along, and there is baby Moses in that basket. And the maids that were with Pharaoh's daughter said, "Should we take the baby? Should we take the baby and have him breastfed?" And they took the baby, and they had someone breastfeed him. They cared for the baby. And I want to stop there as I'm taking you through this narrative, that when someone takes care of your kids, when somebody takes care of you as a kid, you never forget that. You parents in here that serve over next door, and I know the kids are in here this morning because it's the last Sunday of the month, but you parents and teachers and leaders over in the kids' ministry, you don't have to tell me you love my kids. I see that you love my kids. So you saying it, I love it. I know you love them, though, because I can see the way you treat them. I want to say this. When someone treats you a certain way when you're a child, you'll never forget it. That's why a teacher is so important, their role in someone's life. And I want to tell you another short story. This week, I was talking to my dad and my nephew and my boys. They're all about baseball and football, and Ben made reference to sports this morning, and I think it's so great to watch the kids. And Andy gets up to the plate. Some of you are friends with me on Facebook, and he just swings as hard as he can. And Ryan's so worried about making sure that he catches the ball and hits the ball, and I think that's all great. But my dad's, me and Ben often talk, how come we weren't into sports? How come we didn't get involved like our kids do? My dad called me one night, and he said, "I finally figured out why, that you guys never were that involved in sports." I said, "Why, Dad?" He goes, "You know, growing up, and you've all heard the story," he said, "I had no father figure in my life. I was just on my own, you know, out on my own." And he said, "I had this teacher, and he taught baseball," right? He taught baseball. What was the teacher's name? And the gentleman's name was Mr. Morth. Maybe somebody in here knows him. Mr. Morth would come to he'd get done with school, and he'd go to the baseball field, and he'd teach these boys. He'd teach them baseball. And my dad said it was my favorite part of the week. It was the most incredible part of my week because I saw someone with integrity, with that I trusted, with structure, that would show up there every week. And he said, "I'd get there, and I'd lean my hands on the fence to make sure I was there on time to meet Mr. Morth. He said, I went 1 week and my hands were leaning on the fence and I was watching my watch and Mr. Morth never showed up. And he said, I come back the next week and I remember like it was yesterday, I had my hands leaning on the fence and I was waiting for Mr. Morth to show up. And he never did. That's why it's important, you teachers. I know you get beat on. I know my kids probably say the wrong thing to you, but they love you to pieces. Mr. Morth never showed up, and he said it left such a scar on me. He said that I almost hated sports after that. Isn't that incredible, the impression you can have on a child? And that's where Moses was. To jump back to the scripture, Moses was brought to the palace, and he was cared for as one of Pharaoh's own. He was given the education. He was given the clothing. He was bathed. He had servants. He had the greatest of robes. He had the greatest of bed. He was taken care of like royalty until things got complicated. Ever been a moment in your life where everything was just perfect and then things became complicated? Am I alone on that? That's where Moses ended up. He ended up in complication. He was taken care of. He was cared for by the Egyptians. He was a Hebrew boy, and he saw a Hebrew boy being picked on, and he ended up killing an Egyptian. The scripture says that he looked around to see if anyone was there before he killed him. And I said this in the first service, and I'll say this again. I've been wanting to say this to someone in here. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. So when you point your finger, you know, we're professionals at when a Christian falls, we just stand back, put our hands in our pockets, and just watch it play out. And then afterwards, we walk back up after someone's been tore down, ripped apart, and we say, somebody should have done something. That somebody is you. That somebody's me. And that's where Moses was. He killed a man, and he walked up on the scene, and the same type scenario was happening. There was Egyptians. They were picking on a Hebrew boy again. And the Egyptians looked back at him, and they stared at him, and he said, who are you to judge us? I'm picking on this Hebrew boy. Are you going to kill us like you killed the other Egyptian? I haven't even looked at my notes, but I want to read something that I wrote down. In verse 14, they reminded Moses what he did, so he ran. He had to leave his comforts. People will always remind you of what you did. People will always remind you what you did. I want to give you three quick points on that. Be careful of what you do because you have to live with it. Isn't that a great quote? Be careful what you do because you have to live with it. Number two, be careful who you do things around. Some people enjoy your failures more than they enjoy your successes. You ever met somebody like that? Number three, know when you have the wrong company or you need a new friend. If you have a friend that's leading you to where you know you shouldn't, and I'm talking to somebody right now because I've been there myself. If you have a friend that's leading you somewhere where you shouldn't, get rid of them. I have some of the best friends in the world, and I wanted to say that this morning because a lot of my friends are here. I have some of the absolute best friends in the world. You know how you know when you have a good friend? Do you want to know? You want me to tell you? The way you know you have a great friend is it's more important what they don't say than what they do say. Did you catch that? When you have a great friend, it's more important what they don't repeat about what you said, about what you did, about who you were, than it is about what you did or didn't do. So he had to leave the castle that he lived in. The plush, the hot shot, the prince that he was in the palace, living the lap of luxury. He had to leave all that because of a decision he made. And while running from his past, he ran into his purpose. Moses had an awakening to the next phase of his life. He ran into, and if you read the scripture, it's around chapter 2, verse 11. He ran into the Midianites, and the priest of the Midianites happened to become his father-in-law. He met some girl. He met his daughters, and he ended up marrying them. And it's incredible. He was pulled out of the palace, and he was never taught how to get his own food. You ever been in a situation in your life, and you're rejoicing? Yeah, I got out of Egypt, and you get onto the other side, and you end up in Midian in your own life, and it's a mess. You don't even know how to eat. Yeah, I got away from Pharaoh. That's what Moses was saying. Yeah, I got away from Pharaoh, but now how do I eat? You ever been there? If it's not one thing, it's another thing. I'll make reference to how I've been there. My dad, blood clots in his chest. I walked in, and he's mouthing off to the doctor, telling the doctor, I need to get out of here. I got things to do. And the doctor looked back at him and said, the only time I see blood clots like this are in an autopsy. Lay down and be quiet, Marty. I love that. I love when she said that. You get on the other side of that, right? You say, oh, God, you delivered me. Thank God. Thank God you made it work. All to get on the other side and get the phone call. I got breast cancer. And if you're not really paying attention, you'll get mad at God. This is where Moses was. He was in Midian. He had no idea how to provide for himself. He was running as a murderer. He was all on his own. He meets Jethro, his father-in-law-to-be. Jethro teaches him how to get food, how to operate in the wilderness. Now, don't let your mind take you to the wilderness that Moses leads the people of Israel to, right? Right? That's where my mind went. Who are he led the Hebrew out into the wilderness. No. We're still back in Scripture. We're still talking about when he left the palace, he ends up in Midian. And this is where we left off in Scripture. This is where I read from this morning when I started. He walks up. He's shoveling sheep poop. He's doing exactly what he doesn't want to do. And maybe in your life, you're doing what you don't want to do. Maybe you're where you don't want to be. Maybe your family's all tore up. Maybe you're in seclusion. You don't know what way to turn. And you're looking at your life saying, well, how did I get here? Moses looked at his life at this point and said, how did I get here? And the enemy is perfect at doing a few things. He'll look at you and he'll ask you, how did you get there? Great, great man of God you are. How did you get there? Great woman of God, how did you get there? You ever had that happen where the enemy just attacks you like that? Reminds you of everything you did wrong all the time, Paul says. Me too. I'm glad I'm not alone. And that's where the scripture takes place. Moreover, he said, I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he's your God this morning. And I just want to tell somebody, I'm trying to grab up my notes here. Jethro asked Moses to lead the sheep, smelly, nasty, poopy sheep. And the enemy started whispering in his ear. Sometimes you'll go through a season where it seems like all your skills have been wasted. It feels like you're not being used to your highest potential. Be careful that you don't see yourself as a failure. You just haven't realized your dream yet. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You just haven't realized your dream yet. And all of a sudden, in the scripture, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, God shows up. And maybe this morning, East Main Street, Batavia at City Church, God is showing up. Maybe this morning, you'll see where your burning bush is. He was 80 years old at this time. He couldn't fit in. He was a misfit. But the misfit in your life and in Moses' life was God's methodology. It was his plan. If he fit in with the Hebrews, he couldn't lead them. If he fit in with the Midianites, he'd have stayed with them forever. If he fit in with the Egyptians, he couldn't rebuke them later. God didn't want him to fit in, and he didn't call you to fit in either. You ever feel like you just don't fit in anywhere? Am I the only one? You ever feel like you just go from one place to another, and there's no peace, there's no comfort? I just don't fit in. That's where Moses is. God didn't want him to fit. He never intended you or Moses to fit in. You're not fitting in. It's not God losing you. It's moving you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Take another step. Move forward. The reason you're here this morning, God wants to show you your burning bush. I dare you to keep moving. Moses took the next step to the burning bush. How do you know when you found your burning bush? This is so important. How do you know? You can walk by it when God shows it to you. Or does it make you stop like Moses? Does it make you just stop? If it's for you, even if you try to walk away, you can't. Something will just make you turn back. God didn't speak to Moses when he saw the burning bush. He spoke to him when he turned back to look. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Will you drop everything when God speaks to you? Will you look back? Even there's a host of people saying, it's not for you. Your destiny is in the fire. Your fight, your storm, that is your destiny. Every stage of your life is holy. Discover God in every stage. Why is this holy ground? Can you imagine Moses? Even though it was God speaking to him, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And he's looking around. Can you imagine what he's saying? This ain't no holy ground. This is poopy ground. And you might be saying that to me this morning. You might be saying, Ryan, I get it. It's an inspirational thing. But I'm in the worst point of my life. I'm lost. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to take off from here. God's speaking to you right now through his Holy Spirit to take another step. So to recap the story at the end, he sees this burning bush, and the Lord speaks to him and tells him to go back to Egypt. He goes back and he tells, you know this part of the story, he goes back to Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." I want to make a few points of reference here. Number one, he had a connection. That was the only way he had a voice. Secondly, he knew how to talk the language, and he knew how to serve. How would he have ever gotten in front of Pharaoh had he not had the background that he had? Could he have? So Pharaoh brought out his magicians, and they threw down a rod, and it turned into a stake. Had Moses not gone through the wilderness experience in Midian, he would have never known how to handle the snake. Your situation It was the methodology of God. You would have never known how to handle where you are today. Moses threw down his rod and it turned into a serpent and it chased the magician snakes away. And then he put his hand into his bosom, the scripture says, and he pulled it out and it was leprous. Then he put his hand back into his bosom and he pulled it back out and it was healed. Then he took a cup of water and he turned it into blood. And don't lose me right here. And Pharaoh looks back at him and he said, "Where did you learn that?" And God is looking. There's people that'll look at you. There's people that'll look you square in the eyes and say, "Where did you learn that? Where did you get that from?" You got it in the fire. You got it in your wilderness. You got it in your loss. You got it when you lost your job. You got it when you went through your divorce. You got it when your kids were away. You got it when you were in the deepest struggle of your life. I love how people say, I've been married 30 years, happily married. You're lying. Nobody's married for 30 years. Nobody works a job for 30 years. Nobody goes through life for 30 years and doesn't have a struggle. Tell the whole story, like Moses. Your fight, your fire, your issue is God's methodology. I learned it in the wilderness. I learned it in the fire. I learned it in my struggle. I learned it when I was broke. I learned it when I lost my job. I learned it, Pharaoh, when my friends left me. I learned it when people talked about me and behind my back. That's where I learned this, Pharaoh. He brought the children of Israel out. What an incredible story, and I don't have time to go into it, but what an incredible story. He could have never taken the children of Israel out without the wilderness experience in his life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? God, I pray for someone who feels like they're a misfit. God, I pray for the person who feels like they're all alone. Father, I pray for the person who puts the best show on, the best facade on, comes into church every week and tries to make it look like they have it all together. I pray for that one in particular. God, I ask that you'd meet them. You'd minister to their heart and to their spirit. God, I ask that we wouldn't run. We wouldn't run from our preparation stage. We wouldn't run from our wilderness stage. But God, we'd put our heels in the ground. And God, we'd learn what you're teaching us. It would get in our hearts. It would get in our spirits. It would get in our souls, Father. We'll give you the praise. And we'll give you the glory for it. Would you say amen, church? I'm going to dismiss you this morning, but I want to pray for three people. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. I get that. Listen, I can't wait to hang out and have a barbecue, but this would all be a miss. I wrote down three people that I want to pray for this morning. I want to pray for people that need a burning bush experience in their life, that have been looking for it. You say, "Ryan, man, I just one thing to the next. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do." I want to pray for you. I want to pray for a second person. I want to pray for a person with a spirit of frustration. No matter what you touch, no matter what you're involved with, it just seems not to work out, and you seem frustrated and aggravated at the end of it. I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray for, most importantly, the third person. And I felt this so strong in my heart. I want to pray for people who are on the verge of leaving the learning process. You might be in a marriage this morning. You're ready to duck out. The Lord knows you, knows your heart. Doesn't matter what I think or anyone else. The Lord knows where you're at. I want to pray for you this morning. I love you this morning. I think the world of you. I look around this room. You bless me every single Sunday I come in here. I really mean that. Nothing that I could do, nothing that I could say could bless you as much as you bless me. I love you this morning. Go in God's grace and in his mercy. But if you need prayer, you come down here. I love you guys. See you.